Well, most of us know the story of Job. The setting for the book is a conversation that takes place between God and Satan, where Satan dares God to allow him to test Job's faith. God allows this testing because God is completely convinced that no matter what Satan does to test Job, that Job will get through the testing while keeping his faith in God intact and together. The story is told of a father of five who came home with a toy. And he summoned his children and asked which one should be given the present, the one toy, out of five children. So he asks, who is the most obedient, never talks back to mom, and does everything he or she is told to do, he inquired. And when he asked these questions, there was silence amongst his children. And then with a chorus of voices, they said, you play with it, Daddy. And so one of the larger questions posed within the book of Job is, how does a person keep their faith together in the face of hardship and bitter loss? Well, perhaps some background on Job may help to put some things in perspective for us. Prior to this time of testing, Job had it all. He was probably one of the richest men in the ancient world at the time. The text says in verse 3, quote, this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Well, he had cattle and sheep and donkeys galore. He had servants plus seven sons and three daughters. Job seemingly had it all. And in the ancient world, much like in the modern, if you had wealth, that also meant that you possessed influence and power. Now that said, we have nothing to indicate in the biblical account that Job ever used his power and wealth inappropriately. There's nothing there to tell us that. You can call him a smart businessman, if you will, who built his corporation from the ground up, kind of like one of those high-tech Silicon Valley moguls who, you know, starts his corporation in his father's garage someplace. Well, Job was probably that kind of guy, very savvy, very business-orientated. But what's at stake for God in allowing the testing of Job? And notice that God calls Job in the text his servant. That is, Job has given his life to serving God. Now, Job may have possessed servants himself, but he always knew whom he was a servant of, his master, God Almighty. What's in play here has nothing to do with wealth or power, because money, as the saying goes, is here today and it's gone tomorrow, as the parable of the rich man that built bigger barns to store his wealth in proves. Listen to a part of that parable. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We've heard of that phrase before. Well, it comes right out of Luke chapter 12. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is being required of you. And now, who will own all the things that you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's what Jesus teaches us. But the test gets back to one of God's core values, and that value is faith. And it's the same value that Jesus looks for over and over again, all throughout the Gospels. In the parable of the unjust judge, Jesus proclaims, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Both Job and Jesus make this clear connection. God's justice meted out in the last days that will come, has everything to do with the kind of faith that we exercise in the here and the now. That's why we can pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's a merging, there's a coming together of heaven and earth. And Job knew this. This was the habit of his heart, to be this righteous man as a reflection of the future glory that he knew he was to inherit. Although he was tested in the present, he knew that persevering in his faith had eternal consequences. It's what the Old Testament calls having the fear of God. What kept Job going smack dab in the middle of all his hard times was this, and it's the verse that's taken right out of James chapter 5 and verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Wow. That's what kept Job going, knowing that. The question of loss that Job faces is one that every person of faith must come to terms with. And the question can be put like this. If I experience hardship, loss, profound suffering, what happens to my faith? What happens? Will it shrivel up like it did for Elijah? Will my faith die? Will I die? Does suffering in my life mean that God has turned his back upon me? Why should I believe in God when everything is taken from me and I have nothing left that I can call my own? Because that's exactly what happened to Job as you read through. Now, in our modern world, we struggle with this because in the United States and Canada and Western Europe, we have evolved, it seems, into the most materialistic culture in history, largely through the Industrial Revolution, for those of us that like our history. And the epitome of this, I think, was a commercial that I experienced over the Super Bowl season. It was a very snooty but very slick Cadillac car commercial. And it features a very handsome middle-aged man who owns this extraordinary home, this incredible in-ground pool, complete with high-fiving his intelligent kids as he walks through the house, and an attractive wife who is on the move as he walks by. And with a rather superior attitude, he mocks Europeans for taking August off. And the upshot of the commercial is that it's okay for Americans to work themselves to the bone, and you and I know what that means, probably going into debt, all for the acquisition of material prosperity. And so here's a quote from the commercial. This very attractive middle-aged man says, "You work hard, you create your own luck, and you just gotta believe that anything is possible." Is that what America is all about? Creating your own luck? What about when luck runs out? What about faith in God rather than faith in materialistic possessions that becomes our point of pride for us as a people? It may even go on so far as to suggest in the commercial that if you own a Cadillac, with all due respect to those people that do own Cadillacs, that your life would somehow be happier or more complete. And don't get me wrong, when I watch this commercial, I'm feeling good. Yeah, I mean, it has that effect upon you. It makes you feel happy as if you want to go out and buy a Cadillac. It's a very effective commercial. What the commercial doesn't tell you is that while the majority of Americans work very hard, they still may not be able to afford that expensive car of their choosing, or live in a luxurious home, or have a beautiful wife, or 2.5 perfect kids. Why? Because so many Americans still struggle. They struggle to find work. They struggle to find meaningful and lasting relationships, and they wonder about how they are going to get by if a medical crisis hits them. The major miscalculation of Satan in the text of Job, when he originally set up this bet with God to test Job, is that Job's faith is not for sale. Mm-mm. Job's faith is not tied to the acquisition of wealth, nor is it tied to the utter pain that he would later, in foregoing chapters that are yet to come, experience within his body. Because it's not just the loss of his material wealth, but then God also allows the affliction of his body. Job is humble enough to believe that you can't use your prestige or your power to influence God, or that condemning God for physical suffering will make us feel any better. It didn't matter if Job had $1 million in the bank or just one penny. His faith in God could not, would not be shaken. Because for Job, belief was not tied to how many Capital One or American Express cards he had in his wallet. Mm-mm. But it was tied to the righteousness of God. That was the habit of Job's heart. When Satan was allowed to take away everything that Job possessed, and even Job's children were killed in a disaster, the text says, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head," which are all acts of contrition before God, "and he fell on the ground." And the text says that even with all of that loss piling up, it says, "and he worshiped." I mean, I went as quiet as you all are now when I read this text this week. Despite his losses, he didn't give up on God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there, for the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, the text says, or charge God with any wrongdoing. Job said, "It's not your fault that all this stuff has happened to me, God." Job's faith was not based on the here, today, gone, tomorrow nature of this life, but in the enduring, eternal nature of his intimate relationship with God. Job was close to his God. And nothing was going to get in the way of that. Some years ago, in a military academy, the students mutinied. Can you believe that? Probably a reaction to the harsh demands of such a difficult environment that military academies often had and have. The students, well, they struck and they protested in everything. They protested their lessons, their study hours, their drill practice, and when word reached their parents, the students began to receive telegrams, which the principal had in his possession of the academy. And these messages were like a telescope through which one could look into the various kinds of boys' homes and the parental relationships connected with these boys. One father wired his son, quote, "I expect you to obey." Another said, "If you're expelled from school, don't bother coming home." Mm-hmm. Still another said, "I will send you to an insane asylum if you are sent home." Another said, "I will cut you off without a penny if you disgrace this family." But the best message was couched in these laconic words, "Study, my boy, study." Signed, Father. Now there was a man who believed in his son, steady. And such is a God who believes in those who put their unflinching faith in him. Job's moment that defined him is related to the verse we read today as our Father's Day text. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them, all his children. For Job said, "It may be that my children, it may be, it could be, it possibly could be that my children have sinned and they've cursed God in their hearts." What he cared about most sincerely was if his children walked with God in their hearts, and that their lives gave evidence of their trust and faith in him. So how about us, dads? what kinds of habits of the heart, especially in relation to our children, do we have? Do we care about the hearts of our children and how they walk with God? And what would we do to make sure that they are living for Him? What are the habits of our hearts, fathers? Job felt this was so important that after his family had finished one of their grand get-togethers, fearful perhaps that his children did not conduct themselves with integrity before the Lord, he would offer a sacrifice to God on their behalf. The sacrifice, this holy habit, was Job's way of making sure that his children still could garner favor with God and that their hearts would ever be turned towards righteousness and the blessings that God desired to bestow. Because what Job knew is that a father cannot always be with and protect his children. Satan, as the text is clear to point out, is always going back and forth, to and fro in the earth. And so the best way for a father to care for his children is to entrust them to God. Plain and simple. Fathers, entrust your children to God. If anything, Job was hoping and praying that as he was a man of integrity, that his children, through his prayers and example, would also be children of integrity, that they would learn from him, living their lives for the Lord. Fathers, we remember that our role is not just to teach our kids how to survive, how to change a flat tire in the rain, or to interview well for a job, but it is to teach them how to live right for God. Job's moment that defined him was not only that he faithfully persevered through every trial that Satan threw at him, but that one day the habits of his children's hearts would be blameless, upright, fearing God, and shunning evil. That, I know, would have made Job a happy and contented father. Amen.